robot markets may stagnate if the interoperability issue is not addressed.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Robot Industry Podcast. We're glad you're here, and thank you for subscribing. My name is Jim Beretta. I'm your host, and it's my pleasure to have Aldous van der Berg. He is the founder and CEO of Miele Robotics here with me today. We're broadcasting from London, Ontario, Canada, and Copenhagen, Denmark. Aldous, can you tell the audience a little bit about yourself?
Thank you very much, Jim. Well, as you said, my name is Aldous van der Berg. My background is automotive engineering, but I came into the drone slash robot space in 2017. And I founded Miele in 2019 to get into the last mile and now intralogistics of mobile robots.
Can you give our audience kind of a little bit of kind of from your view, a little bit about what's happening with autonomous robots inside of buildings? Because I assume that's your focus.
That's correct. We focus mainly on the warehouse, 3PL, where fulfillment centers, distribution centers, where there's a lot of robots doing different tasks, such as material handling, pallet handling, forklifting, inventory scanning. What's happening right now is, really interestingly, the adoption of robotics has increased significantly, especially last year, where the demand for goods being shipped increased, and a lot of human workers couldn't work in the facilities because of social distancing and stuff. So the supply decreased, and to cover up that drop in supply or human labor, robotics was a perfect answer to that. And now it's suddenly increased, and we're seeing a huge rise of not just robots for material handling, but different applications. And there's not one manufacturer that is providing one or all robots for all the applications. So you're seeing a lot of mixed fleets and diverse or heterogeneous fleets.
And so when you were thinking about getting into kind of the robot market and solving some of the big problems, what were some of your motivations?
It was the challenge, I would say. So our original concept was actually to be a third-party courier company for, if you take, say, Starship, but we would source a robot for the right application. For example, this type of robot for the grocery, and this type of robot for a takeaway. But we had a lot of difficulty trying to launch it in Denmark because we were a couple of years before the regulations caught up to allowing us to enable this. So we were trying to find a use case, and also trying to find a way to get a permit with a use case, but it was a catch-22, kept going around in circles. But then what happened was that two of my team attended a conference in Odense, the robotics center in Denmark, for mobile robots in healthcare. And then the topic of interoperability between two robot brands for a project in the hospital really came up, and they explained the difficulties of how it was to connect the two, how the project eventually turned pretty much into the summary of saying there needs to be a universal fleet manager to connect these robots. And we looked at that, and we brainstormed a little, looked at markets, and we visualized how this is a big issue just on two robots, one from each brand. How is it going to work in huge deployments, say warehouses or manufacturing facilities? And we realized the scope of that problem and how it's going to be growing unless no one is tackling that. And that was what really got us excited, of being a little bit of an early mover, but also being ones who are tackling this problem. I kind of like to look at it as a bit of the JFK, we choose to go to the moon, not because it's easy, because it's hard.
That's a good point. So you're right. The interoperability is one of the big challenges when you're putting in autonomous fork trucks, autonomous robots, all kinds of autonomy in the factory. And so where do you see you fitting in? Do you see you getting involved early or a little bit later? Or how do you kind of see yourself fitting?
That's a good question. Without going into marketing or sales kind of pitching, I think there's several angles that we can be looking at. One would be if we work with the robot vendors directly, and we try and provide a sort of platform that, or coding or system that connects the robots without having to interfere with their current deployments, because obviously you would be quite scared if we say we're a universal fleet management system, but they already have deployed their own fleet management system. That kind of does seem like competition, but we want to see ourselves as more as a complementary or supplementary solution that can help their end users utilize robots more effectively and collectively. So I think there's an angle that we can see ourselves in being a partner to connect robot vendors with each other at deployments, to help them still be able to deploy robots and sell robots without having to fear that they might be replaced. The other angle is if we would look ourselves as a foundation solution or an umbrella solution, where we would be that one connector to, say, the warehouse management system, and then we distribute the tasks to the individual AGV fleet managers or robots or AMR fleet managers, and then also pick up the location of each of those to be able to inform each other, oh, you're meeting on a blind intersection, you have higher priority, so you go ahead first. So there's different angles. It's a bit difficult not showing a graph or a hierarchy chart, but it's those two are the main routes that we're looking into.
So these are kind of the issues, right? Where that arise when you're going to diversify your fleet. You come in maybe with what's one small area of your factory or your distribution center, and you put in autonomy, and then all of a sudden someone else comes in and says, "Hey, listen, we really have to do this as well." So then it's like, "Hey, this is going to be a what are some of those problems that arise?"
I think one of the common ones that we were experiencing when speaking with the end users is that they've purposely separated environments. So they've separated these robots for only picking. They separated these robots for only tugging, say, in the packing center. So there's very few environments where they're crossing into each other. And even in some environments, they won't even let human operated vehicles in just because they might interfere with, say, a shelf picking robot. So I think that's one of the problems that has occurred is, okay, well, this is the easiest fix right now. We'll just separate it. We'll isolate them. But in reality, you don't want to start isolating because then you're kind of creating barriers, and essentially, in a way, you're going to need a bigger facility to have to isolate. While in reality, you should be able to have a smaller facility and make it much more streamlined and efficient the way that you transport goods or do your operations.
Yeah, and you could see that how that would happen, right? You kind of lose your flexibility in automation all of a sudden when you're using, when you're letting the control systems control your business, right?
Yeah, I think one really good example is, for example, AutoStore, where the grid are stacked, where it's not only just the shelving, but also the picking is all in one grid. So where before you might have to have, say, a 1,000-meter-square facility, now you pretty much bring it down to 100,000 or like a tenth, like tiny. But I think we could be able to do that with current built facilities without having to onboard new equipment. Just utilize AMRs or AGVs, do the same. Just make it more efficient and more connected.
And that's kind of your advantage. Your thought is, hey, we're going to be the control system for the autonomous fleets. Doesn't really matter to us. We're ubiquitous. Like, it doesn't matter what brand it is. We'll just plug it into our system when you bring in a new robot or new robot style or brand.
Yeah, we want to see it that way. I got to use a pitch of saying when you buy a new, say, Bluetooth wireless headset, you want it to just be as easy to connect as 1, 2, 3. You don't want to buy, yeah, new systems or new hardware just to connect that system or new software. So we want to be on a very sort of basic level, just say we are completely agnostic. We don't really care what the robot is transporting or what the robot application does. We generally just care, does it move? Is it on tracks or is it on the wheels? And do you need it to be orchestrated?
So the advantages of a universal fleet management system, from my perspective, being a distribution center or a factory, one thing is I probably can save space. I will save likely organizations and costs. What are some of the other advantages of a universal fleet management system?
I would say a platform, uniformality. Oh yeah, I'm not really sure what the name is actually. But say if you have three different types of robots, AMRs, deployed in the same space, they all have different applications. When you're going to have an overview of your entire fleet, you're going to have to jump back and forth between those fleet management systems, which are exclusive to that brand. While in reality, it should be the way you should go is that you use one platform that gives you a full overview of your fleet, such as localization, the map, the task, the tasks, the analytics, the errors as well, say incidents. If a robot encounters an error, you want it to be flagged up from one so you know, okay, that's where it is, rather than having to switch back and forth, alt-tab between different applications. So its overview has been a very interesting point with users that we've been talking to, that they can see. So visibility of their fleets has been one of the advantages that they see, but also the connecting them together, such as for traffic control, that now you have one system that's actually monitoring and notifying each robot of their locations. And you can even go further by, if you are able to pick up a localization of a human-operated truck or a forklift in the yard or within the facility, that even the robots can be made aware of those vehicles. So you bring everything more closer together by using a universal fleet manager rather than staying with the individual systems.
And what about data? Is data kind of one of those motivators for or an advantage to having a universal fleet management system?
I would say yes. Data has a lot of value. We see we see a lot of interest on the data from the warehouse manager's perspective. So we see how many operations has been done, what's the state of the robots, what's the number of minutes or hours collectively. Has the robots been on idle, both on a task and off a task, for example? A very sort of basic data analytics, but on the business minded. We haven't had a lot of interest of technical data, which does surprise me as an engineer, but it's, yeah, as say, that's what the customer wants, is what the customer wants. But it also feeds into a lot of the conversations that we had, that the data of the mentioned analytics, the operations, how it can be fed into another system that has the overall data. So you can see a full overview of the efficiency and performance of the facility, not just breaking down by verticals, but as an overall. We haven't done much work into this yet, but we find it quite exciting to look into.
Yeah, I suspect you will be, because I think that one of the challenges is collecting maintenance out of this or whatever data out of this system versus that system. And so it is really nice to, I think, have those types of overlays. What do you kind of see as the future in the autonomous fleet communication systems?
I would say a lot of cooperation between companies. I think the days of one service provider provides all is going away. Obviously, I would say this as a startup, but the reality is that we're becoming such a interconnected industry, the industry 4.0 kind of approach, if you will, that we will be working with collaborations with vendors, with other system providers, that there'll be a lot more sort of partnerships and cross deployments or even joint deployments. We're seeing a lot of this now, that the people, a lot of companies that we're talking to, they really want to get involved because we can fill this one gap that they don't really want to start working on, because then they're becoming a company that doesn't really do the main products, but becomes an overall software company, so they can't focus exclusively. And it's the same for us. Like, how do we create a better integration to these systems? How do we create a better control by utilizing these robots? How we can partner with them? So I would believe that the robotics world will be a lot of collaborations. I also see that there will be a lot of new developments with crazy ideas coming out. I would probably gamble a lot of AI decision making is going to be one of the new hot topics, maybe next year, because now we can start doing so machine learning. We can do this operations, but the AI has to make it even more efficient, has to make more intelligent.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think it's going to be a very exciting time for autonomy and for our factories and distribution centers as they get pressure to do more with less and do more with less space too.
I also think there might be some other developments in communications and connectivity, because latency obviously is a huge factor of deployments. What happens when the robots go down, or what happens if you have a disconnect? So I think there might be some cool advancements there, rather than depending on simple Wi-Fi or 5G. Might be sort of.
I forgot to ask you this, but where do you get involved? Do you get involved with hardware integrators, with robot companies, with end customers, like final users? How do you kind of see yourself getting involved?
We're a little bit like, I guess, an octopus. We're connected to all of them. I was trying to remember the name of that group from James Bond in, was it Spectre? where's just those fingers in every pie. We quite a lot have conversations with vendors and other system developers. We have a lot of interactions with other startups, both from a robot manufacturer position to a warehouse automation system. So we talk a lot with them, because it kind of goes back to my previous point of collaborations. You could provide one system, but essentially the customer doesn't really want to pay 15 invoices for one when it can be deployed as a one package. So I think, yeah, where we are, we talk a lot with the startups, a lot of developers. And we also talk to the end users who have deployments, but they don't feel it's enough. There's not much I can actually go into it without revealing too much, but it's a lot of learning. So you've used robots maybe 2 or 3 years, it's been working, but you have now realized it could be better. And that's where we have come in and learned what they are really wanting and what we think from a fresh mind, a startup mind, a young mind, what can be solved. How can we make it much better for you?
Yeah, I think there's some huge advantages to being a startup in this industry right now, because you get to listen and you get to hear and you get to kind of create solutions that solve a lot of problems. Is there anything else that we haven't talked about that you wanted to cover today?
I don't think so. Not off the top of my head. I think we covered most of the cool topics, main topics.
How do people get a hold of you?
They could either contact us via info@mileyrobots.com or visit our website, mileyrobots.com as well, or through our LinkedIn, just search at mileyrobots. we just let us know, either through direct email or through a web form, and we'll get in contact with you as soon as we can. And yeah, find out your needs or your interests, what you're looking for.
Well, thank you, Aldous. And Miley is spelled M-E-I-L-I. Our sponsor for this episode is Ehrhardt Automation Systems. Ehrhardt builds and commissions turnkey solutions for their worldwide clients. With over 80 years of precision manufacturing, they understand the complex world of robotics, automated manufacturing, and project management, delivering world-class custom automation on time and on budget. Contact one of their sales engineers to see what Ehrhart can build for you. And Ehrhart is spelled E-H-R-H-A-R-D-T. I'd like to thank and acknowledge our partner, A3. They're the Association for Advancing Automation. They are the leading trade association in the world for robotics, vision and imaging, motion control and motors, and the artificial intelligence technologies. Visit automate.org to learn more. I'd also like to thank our partner, Painted Robot. Painted Robot builds and integrates digital solutions. They're a web development firm that offers SEO and digital social marketing and can set up and connect CRM and other ERP tools to unify marketing, sales, and operations. And they're at paintedrobot.com. And if you'd like to get in touch with us at the Robot Industry Podcast, you can find me, Jim Beretta, on LinkedIn. We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening and be safe out there. Today's podcast was produced by Customer Attraction Industrial Marketing, and I'd like to thank my nephew, Chris Gray, for the music, Chris Coleman for audio, my partner, Janet, and our partners, A3, Painted Robot, and our sponsor, Ehrhart Automation Systems.